Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Testing.
Testing.
Testies.
Testies. 1, 2, 3. I don't know shit about fuck.
Boner.
I like sucking.
Ball.
Legit.
Well, welcome to Legit Bat. We are live on YouTube, as far as I can tell. I'm hoping this is working. I'm Joe, if you haven't listened before. Jen is not with me today, but we did have our buddy Brandon jump in, who is my de facto co-host a lot of the time. Always thank you for stepping in, you know, when I need you. And also, we have Rose Crow. If you listen to Crow 777, you know who Rose is. But she doesn't make many appearances, so we're happy that she could make it this time. And of course, the returning champion, Crow 777, you can find all of his stuff at crow777radio.com. Any podcast player, but I recommend the $8 a month on his site, because it's great to get that extra hour where they can kind of let loose and not be worried about the censorship that we all seem to be going through. Brandon, do you have anything to say off the top here, or anything to plug, or what are you doing these days?
I would say that if people out there are looking for you guys, look out for Legit Pat. That is on YouTube. So Legit Pat is running around out there as well. That's a plug for him, I guess. But it's good
to be
see
me?
You. No. It's just like one of those things from the simulation, the Matrix, the realm here. It's just like a little nod to you, buddy. You know?
Oh, good. I'll take it.
Little salutations. Nice. Doing well to answer your question directly, and thank you so much for having me. This is always a blast, and love Crow, love Rose, so this made the most sense in the world. I actually have a live that I'm hopping on right after this, so I'm only going to be here for about 20 minutes, but I was like, dude, this will be great. What an opportunity. It's good to see you guys.
We'll take what we can get.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have, I'm going to probably stick to about a solid hour just to respect everybody's time, and I also have like 14 pounds of pork on the Traeger right now for a company party tomorrow. So thanks. Shout out to Mike, my buddy, also ex-coworker and a listener of the show, for hooking me up with almost 15 pounds of pork. That was great. I will take free meat anytime I can.
That's someone has killed the fatted pig.
Well, let's just jump right in then, though. So I wanted to kind of start out with Crow. I mean, we've had him on several times. I don't even know how many times at this point, but we've gone through his solar work, the moon, the everything you can think of that they cover on their show, only just kind of abbreviated for ours. But I kind of wanted to go into, like, start off personally here. Like, how's life over where you live? Like, how's it going? How's your day-to-day?
I'm good. I keep to myself. I live in a beautiful area where there's wildlife and it's quiet. It's a million miles from where I was in San Diego, where helicopters and noise were the norm. It's great.
Good. You still going down to the beach every day, doing your little walking meditation and all that stuff?
Yeah, as much as I can. Got to go get that kind of negative charge from the salt water.
Dude, bust those chemtrails.
Actually, I'm going to start doing more of that. We just had a guest on. I can't remember names, Rose will, but there's a couple devices I'm eyeing to see if I can keep clouds off the sun, because it's getting to be a thing. I'm going weeks in between times when I can film now, and people are filming that other body all over the place.
Interesting. Is there any updates on that? So I did see... It's probably a mainstream article or, you know, some kind of bullshit like that. But there was something that was saying, oh, scientists discovered another planet or something beyond Pluto. And, you know, however they want to frame these types of things, people jumped all over it and said, oh, it's what we've been talking about forever. It's Nibiru. It's Planet X. It's whatever. Have you heard anything about that at all?
No, there seemed to be a few things going on. We had Weston Warren on, and he's a legit scientist, and they're tracking something via frequency that they call the Black Star. What I am filming or trying to film right now is quite possibly the binary to our sun.
Yeah, I think that's the some of the footage. I think Brandon was here actually last time too, but yeah, that's... Is there any updates on that or what people think it is besides just saying it's lens flare? Because that's the most common comment I've seen.
Well, you know how people are. They spend zero time in the real world and they draw an opinion from a video. But it seems that the best time to try to shoot it is when the sun's right on the horizon at either end of the day. And as it goes up, it is my current estimation that it tucks right in behind from the angle that most of us view it at right now. But over the past two and a half weeks, untold numbers of people have filmed. The problem is we live in the age of AI, and a lot of people are shooting stills. Stills don't do us much good, and it's hard to vet for fake video at this point.
Yeah, the AI thing, I know you've talked a little bit about it on your show too, and we've done several shows on it, but it is so exponentially crazy. Every single day it gets more real, to the point where I actually saw a satire video somebody was doing, and it was, as far as I can tell, real people, but it still had that AI look to it, and now I can't tell. That's probably the goal, but I can't even tell what I think is a real video, if that's AI or not. I'm looking for 7-9 fingers, but they seem to have fixed that problem too. Where do you think that's going with AI, and besides, like, you know, shooting pictures of the sun or anything else up there? Like, it seems like this has been going on for a long time, and they finally just kind of dialed it in, and now they're letting the plebs play with it, and it's just flooding the whole internet with garbage, more than it was.
Well, when they took over TikTok, what they did with it has been a home run. So all these people make reaction videos, so they sit in their house and they take content somewhat from somewhere else, and they put together these reaction clips. When they took over TikTok, what it was used for went away. All the kind of man on the ground thing, we're seeing this, it all started to get censored. And now what you see is approved content goes up on TikTok, then hundreds of thousands of reaction makers go grab that pre-approved content and echo it out into the world. It is the most concise way to control conspiracies and what people talk about online that I've ever seen. What we see at this point is people just echoing the exact same clips that were allowed to run on TikTok for the most part.
Yeah, and I mean, those things drive me nuts anyway, the reaction videos. It's like, make your own shit. Like, why you got to sit there and point at it and nod your head, and that's your video, and it gets millions of views. It's annoying just from that. But
I made a reaction video about his rant about reaction videos. So I was reacting to his rant about reacting. That was great. Yes, and Bruce Fenton was on Union of the Unwanted last time, and he was talking about that, and I agree with this 100%, that the age of UFO videos is over, that you are not going to get any legit UFO videos, or you're just not going to be able to tell what they are because of all the AI, because of the drones, because of everything. So, I don't know. It's an interesting time. You can more than ever not trust anything out there.
Well, I had made a law of HD years ago to help people with the whole, this is a UFO thing. But the problem is, as soon as AI mainstreamed, that's out the window. So the new rule is, well, it's still true. Anything that can be filmed in HD is going to be filmed in HD, but that doesn't take it far enough anymore. Now you have to know the source. Absolutely have to know the source, and you have to have 100% trust. Other than that, what you're looking at is basically valueless. It's a maybe.
Yep. And we got to publish the Crow's Laws in a couple journals of ours. Thank you, Crow, for that. He submitted. It's a full page layout of Crow's Laws. It's awesome.
It's cool. I have copies of all that.
Yeah, thank you for that, man. It's awesome. But you're absolutely right. It's a wild time. Your eyes, you really can't trust your eyes anymore. So is it just better to be blind? You know, you guys think that that's the way we go? We just start gouging eyeballs out because we're just better off?
You just take that blue pill and eat the steak, drink the wine, call it a day.
Not that. Just stop looking. Like, I don't know. Just avoid eye contact with the realm, you know?
Well, Fortune says this is a fast school, and this is, you know, what we're talking about gets down to the crux. We're going to have a big turnover here. All the people who took medical procedures, they probably shouldn't know. There is currently a big turnover. And part of what has to get worked out is, how do we exist like this? In the past, when big things changed, there was typically a change period that allowed us to adapt to the changes as they come. But this is happening so quick that there is no time to adapt. And I think one of the side effects will be those of us that can make it through on your feet will be much more self-sufficient and acting much more like adults. And we will start to move away from services and goods and all the crap that we took for granted. I'm not working, pay me unemployment. I'm, you know, give me this benefit, give me that. All that kind of thinking is going away. But at the same time, they're slowly pushing for UBI. And UBI is the ultimate version of that, where you get a stipend that pays your basic bills. You're probably allowed to find, you know, a job beyond that if you can. But the truth is, if you don't follow the rules, you don't get paid. And that is an ultimate form of control. And when you digitize it and put it on the blockchain, all the more. It is a literal iron fist situation if we get there. Let me fix this door behind me. Sorry, guys. It's banging.
Yeah, while you're doing that, it's all about jurisdiction as well, because if you're a citizen is when you will get those privileges of the beloved government. But if you are not a citizen, like I'm a national, then I would not be beholden to such privileges. So therefore, it'd be even different for us, right?
I have my earphones off while I shut that door, so I missed the first part of what
I
you
was
said.
Talking about that was going to be a jurisdictional buy-in for the citizens, though, you know, and so nationals and the like would not then be privy to that type of government benefit.
Well, I think they're going for the whole enchilada. I think their aim is worldwide. And so one of the things we can see happening is resources, particularly money and employment, are drying up. People are broke. And if things get bad enough for long enough, that's when they march in and say, we have a solution, here's a check. And that's how you get a lot of people to agree to it. It's like, I just heard that YouTube is thinking about removing skippable ads. So when they think about doing a thing like that, the first thing they do is they go out and they test it. And I saw some of the claims on those tests, and people said, that's fine. They still used it. Even though the ads couldn't be shortened or blocked. And so this is how it happens. They do their test. They see what portion, you know, maybe it's the 80-20 rule. I don't know. But at some level, they say, okay, we tested. This works. Launch. You know, that's kind of where we are.
With all the new things coming out, I mean, ever since it's started happening with Sam Altman and Larry Ellison and these technocrats coming in and, you know, basically making Skynet, In full view, they're being as transparent as these robots can be, I think, but they're coming out saying this is what we're doing. And you have a certain group of people that like to call themselves MAGA that are just all for it. Not all of them, obviously, but there's a good portion of them that are just championing this. And I've said it before, but if it was a year ago and Biden or Kamala were implementing these same things, there'd be an outcry from the same people who are applauding it now. What is that, just MK Ultra 2.0 or 4.0? Like, how does that work? How do these people not see what's going on?
We're at a very critical point vis-a-vis war in this world. I was told over a year ago that there was going to be a push that would absolutely happen for war in the Middle East, told by a person who knows things. And I said, well, most of the people I know aren't into war right now. And he said, you will find out real quick, because it is going to happen. And as we sit here and speak, you're starting to see the same party lines come out. Oh, well, this country has nukes and they're a month away. They've been saying this since the early 80s, I think, the first time I heard this.
Oh, there's party a whole line. Compilation of Netanyahu talking about it since, yeah, at least late 70s, early 80s, saying the exact same thing as he's saying now.
So this is the measure of a population. Are we still going to be malleable enough to let other human beings be butchered for no good reason? Or have we reached the point where we can recognize that the wants and concerns and fears don't amount to a hill of beans next to violence? And a lot of people that I know are absolutely not down with it. I know people who are big MAGA supporters who are already beginning to question whether they blew it. And it doesn't really matter what I say. Like I said, why do you get behind this? Haven't you seen his little 45, 47 hat? That's 9/11. You don't know who this guy is? There's his finger pointing right at the numbers.
MAGA is the highest order of the Satanic Order as well. It's the highest priest in the Satanic Order.
Unbelievable. And here they come with the same narrative to try to get funding and enough people to be okay with it to destroy lives and kill people. I served in the Marine Corps, so I know what it's about. And there is no reason in this world, with very few exceptions, where killing is okay. And what you're looking at here is agendas. And we're at the cusp of finding out whether the population has grown up enough to value human life above ridiculous political arguments, or whether we're still going to play the game that we've been playing.
Yeah, and it's not looking great. I hate to, you know, get even close to the fear porn thing, but if you're just objectively looking at what's going on, it doesn't look great. I mean, people just seems like they went right back to sleep. There's a big awakening, as they say it, in 2020, and everyone's like, oh, wait, you know, the government's full of shit, the media's full of shit, they're lying to us. And then it just seemed like they kind of tempered it back down a little bit, and now we're back at this point where they're like, whatever the media says, Iran has nukes, go kill them.
There's a little bit of a difference now, because one of the weird side effects of what's happened online is people that have mass followings like Tucker Carlson or Candace Owens, those are voices people listen to, and as a matter of fact, probably a lot more listened to than any TV channel at this point, I would imagine. Not only that, it's on a platform where those videos go on forever. They can be recycled and recycled. And we're starting to see these voices contend with the war idea that comes around. So it really will be a very interesting indicator of where we are, because no matter what happens, we're also in a position where people are recognizing they can stake their own claim. I do it every day. I pray every day. I thank the Creator for my existence. I state my position in the universe, and I state clearly that I claim all my rights and that I'm against killing and all these other things that I see going on in the world. So personally, even if things happen that I'm not down with, I have staked my personal claim in this era. And I think a lot more people are starting to think this way, because you realize at the end of the day, I can't force even my wife to do what I want her to do. At the end of the day, I have control of me. And so if I forego my ability to state clearly to the universe where I'm at, I think that's an opportunity missed. And I think that matters, particularly when a lot of people start doing it.
I mean, you can make your wife do what you want her to do. You just have to have certain tools, you know. You can do it. It's probably not legal, but
dude, and that is tacit control, tacit consent, what you're talking about, Crow. Is those are just, you know, not making a choice is still making a choice, because one is being made for you. That's brilliant. Yeah.
You have to state your position and your intention. It's like that old idea that people hear all the time, but very few people follow, where you think of what the things you want most in the world, and you write it on a piece of paper and you set it by your nightstand. And every morning you read it, you restate it throughout the day, and that it works. That's all there is to it. If you stick to that, I can basically guarantee you will see movement in that direction, if not more. And so we've got to realize that as individuals, we do matter. Our consciousness helps shape this reality just like everybody else's, except we have control of our own consciousness.
Yep. Your RAS, for sure. You're programming that all the time.
I've heard people kind of push back on that idea. And what I take that as is every time, you know, there's the new current thing and everybody's talking about it. I kind of like, it's not sticking your head in the sand, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go outside, touch grass, look at the sun, and just kind of, you know, distance myself from this. And people have a problem with that too. It's the same thing with, I'm not voting anymore. I don't think it does anything. It's just kind of a facade. So I don't vote anymore. And people get mad about that too. Oh, well, it's all we can do, bro. Like, you have to do it because it's all we can do. Well,
it's all they can do, I think, is the proper way to say that.
And if voting mattered, they wouldn't let you.
Yeah, if you choose to vote, then you are opting into a system, not just opting in, you're participating. And your vote does bupkis. You don't choose the candidates. You don't seat the candidates. There's a little thing called the Electoral College, which was put in place to always skirt that. You don't vote anyone anywhere. And every time people come on and say the vote was this, look, I can show you at least five elections where the popular vote was so one-sided and the other person was seated. So if you still want to make the argument, one of those people is the forefather of the geniuses who run Pawn Stars. What are the odds? What are the odds? But my point here is you're being polled. Call it a vote if you want. It makes absolutely no difference. Everybody knows the electoral vote gets counted, and that's what seats a president. And that's as insider baseball as anything. So the point I would make is, sure, you can argue if you're not participating, you're doing nothing. But I would argue, as long as you continue to participate in that, you are the fuel in the engine that allows it to continue. If you spent that same energy saying, that's not the way I'm going, at least something would be happening that's not mainstream control.
I love that because Jen brings it up all the time. She says that it seems like the Matrix is kind of right with, we are already batteries. Like our anodes and cathodes power this whole machine. And if we stopped participating, it would just not run anymore. But you need the critical mass of people to stop doing that, and that's where it gets difficult, even to get people to just be like, you know what, don't file taxes this year, fuck it. What are they going to do? They're so overloaded over there, as far as we know, that they're probably not going to even notice for another 10 years, and in that time a lot can change. So stop participating. I'm not telling anybody to stop paying taxes. That's personal choices, but
I've heard a lot of people are doing that now, and they're just not letting on. But if you don't recognize right now the spiritual war that's going on, I don't know what to tell you. And this idea that we're going to go bomb a country out of existence, or someone is, that's evil. That's taking lives. Are you adults? Can you talk through your problems? Or do you need to whip out a gun every time you can't talk through a problem? But the point I'm making is there is a spiritual war and there is darkness. On the dark side of this, there is no creative power. They get their creative power from us because we are creator beings. We are highly spiritual creator beings. And this whole system has been put together to undermine that. You get up at 7 o'clock. You get to work by 8 or 9. You work all day. You come home. You got to get groceries. You got to pick up the kids. You got to pay your taxes. By the time you're done, you put your head on the pillow and you do it all over. But for a lot of people, you have created nothing per se in that time. And that starts to be a problem for a creator being. You've got to create, and you've got to recognize that you are a creator being, and you've got to recognize when others are trying to parasite on to you as a creator being.
Yeah. I know Brandon, you got to go soon, but we did have Luke in the chat said, citing to be passive is still choosing a side. What would you say to that?
It's true. Choosing not to choose is still a choice. I had a thing about Crossroads that I was working on. It was this very idea that I had failed to recognize that information is the crossroad. Every time new information comes to me, I have to make a decision. There's no option. And someone said, well, what do you mean? You don't have to do anything. I said, you're right. That's an option. So when new information comes to me, I could basically use the crossroad to think about it. I can go straight, I can turn left or right, or go backwards, or the kind of ether fifth element idea, I can sit there till I die. But regardless, I have to do something. And what it helped me to realize is when I'm faced with new information, and I really don't know what to do with it, I put it in my back pocket. And I say, this is a maybe, or maybe I put it in my back pocket and say, this is pretty likely unacceptable. But nonetheless, with my volition, I have made the choice and recognized the new information. The problem in this era is so much information comes so quickly that we don't deal with it. And when you don't deal with the thing, quite often it does what it wants or gets used to someone else's ends.
And that's tacit control. That's when you just offer it up because you're not. And so someone else, hey, do you want to eat this? No, I don't. Or just ignore it. Then someone else is going to eat it. Right. It's not going to go to waste is the point. Your opportunity is not.
And this year it gets worse when they say, well, don't you know you've been eating that all along? Because what you don't want to eat here is in this, that, and the other thing.
Most likely people.
That's where it goes.
I've not eaten fast food since I heard it's probably people. And we weren't big fast food folks anyway.
It probably is.
It probably fucking is, right? Fast food. Think about it, because we're really, really quick, right? The most dangerous game and all. Okay, I do need to jet to this other live. And thank you so much again, guys, for the hangout. Luke, to answer your question, passivism is the way that I look at it is energy allocation. Okay, you only have so much. Whatever your attention is on, whatever your gaze is on, whatever your emotion, more importantly, it's animating that. The analogy I like to use is that little game at a fair where you've got the clowns lined up with the balloons and you're aiming for its mouth and then it fills up the balloon. Well, you've got those all around you and all those things have bright lights and colors and sounds and they all want you to shoot your gun in their mouth. Hey, yo. Now, what your job is to allocate your energy to what you fill, what you consume. If that war machine is something you want to fear and be scared of, go ahead and fill the shit out of the balloon. It'll continue to exist. What we're offering is the opportunity for some inventory allocation and just some resource management on everybody's part. And to say, am I going to fill this or am I going to find a second body behind the sun that we've got and talk about that instead? Am I going to grow a garden? Am I going to get some community things going around me? Am I going to figure out that it is up to me and nobody's going to come save me? Or am I going to continue to fill those balloons out there? So it's not passivism to not contribute to the fear system. That's making a choice of choosing to feed the love wolf over the fear wolf. That's what I'd say to that. And on that note, I got to run, guys, but this is awesome. Thank y'all so much. I love y'all.
Dude, have a good day, bud. Thanks for dropping in.
Thank you.
Enjoy your next show. We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Show to show.
Oh, yeah. The life of a serial podcaster.
That guy must be famous.
Yeah. Rose, do you have anything to input in this? Hello, hello. Thanks for joining.
Yes. Yes, I have been taking notes in my Google document to just add to different things that have been mentioned so far. And I just wanted to mention that Jet Blake equals Weston Warren. For a while, he had to go by a pseudonym because of all the backlash and him being banned from academia, his off-grid scientific community. And on Crow 777 Radio, those episodes are 621, 626. And then this Wednesday, we're doing our third episode with him, which is 633. And I think it's really important to note because everything that he is measuring is so fascinating, but we have determined that what he is measuring is different than Crow's binary sun. So what Crow has captured with his telescope is not the same thing that Jet Blake, aka Weston Warren, has measured since 2004, what he's calling the black star, which has been growing in electromagnetic frequency since 2004. Although they are not the same thing, I believe they are absolutely related to the same causal factor, which I think has to do with the cycles of time and human consciousness, because what Weston has measured, it is affecting the Earth and the Earth's weather and human consciousness potentially. So I don't know if Crow wants to talk about the age change and human consciousness, but the last thing I wanted, actually, there's two more things. Since the age of UFOs is over, we do know Crow. He's a credible source, and he has real footage that we could still look at. So if you ever wanted me to show the thruster clip, that's absolutely incredible. And then I also have a clip of the exploding chem bomb that I could show. And then finally, we have a really extensive legal playlist that has influenced a lot of people. And there are so many different ways of going about it, and it just really depends on your spiritual conviction. You've got people like Kurt and Kallenbach who has no process. You've got people who are changing their status so that they're not a United States citizen. You have people who are learning how to litigate pro se within the system. They are, you know, making money at the negotiation table, just scaring judges by how much they know. But if all you care about is declining voluntary income taxes, there are people that like Dave Champion. So if anybody wanted to reach out to me about our legal playlist, we can always contact us through the website. So that's all I have so far.
And we should make it clear, we don't do legal advice. We can point you towards information of right. people Please. Who make it their business. But yeah, we should, Rose, do you have access to some of the newer stuff I just made that you can show on?
Yes, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to show the most recent stuff. Is that cool? If we
Dudenheimer, do you want to see things and stuff?
Should I share my screen?
You have 5 new messages.
Hey Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Should I?
He's muted, I think.
Oh, he's muted? Or he's trying to decide if he wants to let us
share. I was muted. Oops.
I was going to say, I couldn't hear your lips.
No,
moving,
I said, I do want to see stuff and things. I want to see things and stuff.
If I select application window, because I'm used to using StreamYard, and I'm actually going to share StreamYard. So hopefully, actually, it doesn't matter if you could hear the audio, but can you see how I have my StreamYard being shared and all the media assets?
Yep.
Okay, so let me see. I just
make sure it's good things and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Let me just make sure it's good things and stuff. So I have a couple of images here, which hopefully will show up well that I can click through. Crow, do you want to just narrate as I go through them slowly?
This is a disk blackout just to highlight the proms. It looks like it was screen captured, but there's better ones than this.
Yeah, but that's this is to advertise the solar investigation.
Yeah, this is actually a still out of an animation. So what you have here is the surface of the solar disk, and the white spots are sunspots. What I've done, and this is what a lot of solar astronomers do, they invert the image because it better gives you the three-dimensional feel. And I usually make them both ways. This one is inverted. You know it's inverted because the sunspots are white. But those little filaments have a 3D appearance now, so you can kind of tell. And I have an animation that this still was drawn from. When I say animation, it's basically a video that shows the motion of the sun in the hydrogen alpha wavelength. This is also a still out of one of the very recent animations that I did. And it is perhaps one of the best that I've done to date. Here's the beginnings of what I call a solar tornado. It's actually a prominence, but over time they begin to look just exactly like a tornado. Quarter disc shot inverted. Do you have any of the animations?
Yeah, I wasn't sure how much of the stills you wanted me to go through. So let me just quickly show because I think they're so beautiful. So let me just go through those stills I have here because I love them. And my favorite, but here are the animations if you want to see.
Yeah, what we did, people wanted those solar stills, so we put them up on the website and people can get them and print them. And I created the files so that they can be like 50 inches. You can print like up to 50 inches. And so if you do that, I ask people to take a picture of it when it's hanging on your wall or wherever you've put it and send it to me. And some of them are just gorgeous.
Yeah, and I don't know if while I'm talking, my picture, on the Zoom is showing, that's a sunspot that Crow shot himself. And it really goes to show that, I accept that the sun is hollow. It acts as a converter to the metaphysical realm and that sunspots are kind of like holes. And this is a picture. Are you seeing it?
The yeah.
Okay, so people who are listening to this right now or watching on YouTube, they can see my favorite zoomed in picture of a sunspot, and that is available where if you print it out, it will look absolutely dazzling.
Are you talking about your the profile picture you have up there for your camera?
Yeah.
I thought it was a close up of a butthole at first, but the sunspot thing, the texture that you get from that is crazy looking. And I know we've played a couple of your videos and things like that on the show before, but seriously, if you're listening on audio, you're missing out because you got to look at what this is. This is the sun. Like, this is the thing that makes us live
in a way bizarre. That we couldn't observe the sun in the way I'm showing you scant years ago. You know, when I picked this up in, 2013, 12, whatever it was with my small, we got a view, but nothing like this. And that image that Rose has for her thumbnail, I'm still trying. You got to shoot in what's called the G band. But when you do, you can see the things that look like spaghetti noodles. When you animate this, they go around the corner, go down that hole and terminate, and they flash at the end. It's an incredible thing to see.
What do you make of that? Like, what is that?
I think that I'm looking at an outer shell, like the surface that I'm looking at. And you got to realize, if you change the wavelength you're looking at the sun in, it changes things a great deal. Like when I shoot in the G band, that's when you see the granulation and everything. But what this is H alpha, and it's an outer shell that is hollow or energy or something inside, not a nuclear furnace. And it is drawing energy from what's been termed counter space, or maybe what's a better word for that? I don't know, whatever's beyond here.
Different dimension.
Something like that.
Some people say heaven. That's what some people
something
think.
Like that. I mean, you're looking at a light. Think about what it means. You can't, most people can't even look at this light. It's too bright. You know, think about that for a second. And actually, on the thumbnail that Rose has, you can see one of the spaghetti things in the hole that I was telling you about.
Yeah, it's one of the, it's whatever is powering this realm that gives us life. So to me, it makes sense that this life-giving sun, the sun energy, is like the interfacing. So some people say converter, some people say transformer, some people say lens, but it's transmitting us analog data from the quote unquote metaphysical realm that's making it possible for us to have consciousness, which is why Crow and I both agree that the sun is conscious itself.
And it reminds me of a projector. I know people have called it that too, but like a projector where it's projecting the reality that we see.
I think I'd update that a little bit. The projector, the way that I view it, is our minds. Our minds help create. Mind precedes all reality, but the sun is kind of like a lens, and it lenses in the energy. Like when you take a prism, right? You got white sunlight, and you split it out with a prism, and then all of a sudden you can see, oh, look, all these colors are lensed in there. But the sun itself cannot, like... nothing can give something that they don't have, right? And the sun gives us life. The sun is life. It is conscious, and it is directly connected to our consciousness. And I think this was well known in much older cultures. And when you begin to consider, there it is. There's the G band. There's a sunspot shot in the G band, and you can see those little energetic foculi, I think they call them, going around the corner, and with the proper view, you'll see them flashing down in there. Does it look to you like there's a nuclear furnace down in there?
Yeah, but also I just want to point out that this was so, even though it's only 4 seconds, just can you explain why, even though it's 4 seconds, why it was so special that you captured this quote-unquote CME, mainstream calls it a coronal mass ejection?
Well, first of all, they're going to lie to you and tell you that you could fit at least one Earth in that little explosion, which is complete poppycock from where I'm standing. But having said that, all the animations, I have 16 solar videos that members can access on the site. All the animations have to be put together so that a bunch of stills that have been shot are put in a video timeline. It's like a flip card animation, but it accurately shows you the real motion of the sun. But to do that, I have to speed it up 500 times or more. But what you just saw there in black and white, that's real time. That might have been speeded up a hair, but it goes to show you that most of the movement has to be speeded up for us to enjoy it. But at the same time, within a few seconds, there can be an energetic explosion. And that's what that was. Complete by luck, by chance that I caught that.
I'm glad you brought that up about, you know, you can fit a whole earth at least in that little pocket. What is your opinion on the size of the sun?
Well, I can't tell you for sure, and I can't back up with hard facts what I'm about to say. But what I can say is that I accept that it is very likely that it's about 3,300 miles away, something like that, and that the diameter of both the sun and the moon is probably in the neighborhood of 30 miles, maybe 32 miles. And I think that the energy things are encoded in like the Masonic compass and the distance, if I am right, if it did happen to be 3,300, there's your 33. And you start to see more reasons why that number is bandied about by the sun in May. I mean, the Masons.
I have the animations all queued up, and in one of them, he's talking, and I don't know how to remove the audio. So if you want to hear the 2 minute and 42 second, I could play that video, and I think there's animations there. I also have a 2 minute prominence animation. It's up to you how much of these animation videos you want me to play, but you could also just put in the chat if you want me to stop it.
Oh, no, that's fine. Yeah, just play away, and if the audio comes through, that's fine, or otherwise you guys can narrate what we're seeing while you play it.
Okay, so I'll just like go down the list of the animations, and then in between I'll give you a second to tell me whether or not you want me to stop.
Word.
Okay.
Believe it or not, this year, well, actually I should back that around. Last year in March, I was able to shoot the sky with my telescope solar work 3 times more than the entirety of this season so far, starting in March. I think in May we had 7 inches of rain, and just to get a single day of sunshine has been a real challenge. And even then, clouds and everything else keep getting in the way. But on the upside, in this 16th member video is some of the best solar animation and solar work I've done to date. I also update everyone on the second sun, if you're not aware. Whatever it is, I should say, the so-called second sun was filmed by, I don't know, a huge number of people over the last week and a half or so. Now, these images that Rose is showing you is stuff that I just shot. And I worked from spring all the way up to where I broke my ankle in August, nonstop. I took a month off to heal, and I did nothing but practice being able to produce the best images I could, because this is a view of the light of this world that makes life possible in this realm that we take for granted, or maybe even worse, that we've been taught by some corporate religious institution that if you appreciate the sun, you're some kind of hell-bent sun worshiper. That's all wrong-mindedness. This object that we're looking at here is amazing beyond my ability to describe it. It is our heat. It is our weather. It is the reason things are alive. It is plant life. It is everything, damn near everything. And on top of that, one of the other things that I do accept about the sun is that it's kind of like a lens. So here's the issue. If I try to bring up how important the sky clock is, we'll get people who comment, oh, you're some new age wackadoo all about astrology. Well, say what you want. I am all about astrology, just not the astrology you've been taught. I'm about the astrology based on the observations I've made. And here's what I know. How can we possibly wake up in the morning knowing that on June 21, at the height of the power of the sun on the summer solstice, it will be hot, and yet on December 21, at the lowest point of the sun, it will be frozen? How can we possibly know this and not recognize the energy of the sky clock? What's causing that? The sun is the biggest cause. So if we know that, how can we now ignore all those other luminaries? to get back to the point I was making, I accept, or I would explain in my limited knowing now, that what I think may be going on is those energies are kind of lensed into the sun. In the same way I can take a prism and take white light, so-called white light, and blow it out into seven rainbow colors, that's really what I think is going on. All those energies are coming down to us, and it's kind of like they're lensed out through the sun or something like that. And believe me, I'm no expert. This is what I've drawn on based on my observations. Now, I want to go through some of these images, and we'll run it through once. This is a double looping prom. You can see the total magnetic curvature of everything going on. And that brown snaking thing over the surface is actually called a filament, but that is part of the prominence in a view that doesn't allow you to see it, like flames. And as we run this out, I'm going to zoom in on a couple points so that you can see this conscious luminary doing what it does. All right, let's take a couple views and see what we can see here. I've zoomed a little on the prom so you can get a good look at them. And the seeing is always going to be the defining characteristic of a big scope like I have. If the seeing is not good, the size of the scope amplifies that. Right now, I get beautiful windows of excellent seeing for the first 2-3 hours. The problem is it's very difficult to refocus in the middle of that, but I have a plan to deal with that. Now here you're looking at the filament, and you can actually tell that it's part of that prominence that you're looking at, or connected to it anyway. And in a minute, I'll shift over. If I had widened the field of view, there was a whole other set of prominences going on the side. But when I shift the view here, you'll be able to see the solar rain and a few other things. And one of the things I'm going to do here is speed up the clip significantly. There's the edge of what was going on off frame. That thing was looping back into another prominence on the other side. I just didn't want to get too greedy with my field of view. I wanted to ensure I could pull this off. Also, the surface detail, you can tell that needs work. That should be a lot more defined and clear than it is. But here, when I speed it up, I'll speed it up to about 250 or 250%, and then I'll jack it up to 1,000%. This is speeded a little, but in a minute when it goes black and white,
you can see the motion of the sun if you pay attention.
Pay attention. It shows you the motion of the sun in hydrogen alpha. Now, I know people look in white light and they see something different because the sunspots don't move the same way all the time. Here it comes. There's really quick. Can you see the sun spinning forward and back? So this prominence will actually go all the way around, and in 24 hours-ish, be right back about where it is now. And that's what you can tell if you back it up and look at the 1,000% run. You can see.
That's nuts. I don't even know what to make of that. I know I said that last time you were on and we were watching these, but it's like, how are you getting, like, I've never seen these types of videos from mainstream at all.
He's one of the top three astronomers in North America. It's simply because, check it out, not only does he have a huge scope from the Lunt Company, where not that many people even have this scope
on three, the level, three in North America.
Think about who has the wherewithal to transfer these terabytes of data, all these hours of work, and depending on the weather, while running a podcast, and then being able to know all of what you need to know with the computer stuff to do the solar animations to put. So, Crow, why don't you explain what it takes to put the animations together and about the solar investigation videos and what you've learned from video 1 to video 16, which we just released?
So one of the big things is the cost of doing this. Edelons, which is the thing that allows you to look in the wavelength, are wildly expensive. I spent years saving for this. The guy at the manufacturer told me there were three sold in the America, and I think maybe he said North America, that are the size of mine, 130 millimeters. But if I shoot for 3 hours capturing data, the way it works is I catch roughly 1,000 frames, stop the video, wait 30 seconds, catch another 1,000 frames, and on and on. I do that for 3 hours. That's going to render at the end of the day 15 to 20 seconds. Of video. The way it works is each one of those 1,000 frame captures, I take the best 15 or 20% of the frames out of each of those videos and stack them into a single image to get the most contrast and as sharp as I possibly can. Then when I'm done, I might have somewhere between 1 and 300 stills. All those go into a video timeline. And the only thing that's added that is not real is the color. I use a black and white camera because you get millions of shades of gray, black and white. You get the most detail, and everybody in astronomy knows this, shooting black and white. So the only thing that's man-made added is the color. I could make it pink or blue, but I make it orange because your eye kind of expects that. But here's the real rub. If I shoot for 3 hours to get a 15 or a 20 second animation, the weight of that video files and that data will be a terabyte or more. So now you can kind of see what you're up against. And that sets aside that by far the hardest thing I've ever filmed is the sun. It is so difficult for a number of reasons.
Yeah, and I've tried to shoot the moon just with a shitty like $100 telescope in my phone, and I've gotten decent shots from it, but nothing to the level of detail this is. So I get the struggle because I kind of know what you're talking about with trying to take pictures with a telescope, and just trying to focus it is hard enough. I know when you have better equipment, it's a little easier, but just trying to get the focus is insanely hard. So to see these videos that you've never seen before from NASA, who can take perfectly clear pictures of Mars and Saturn and Jupiter and all these things, you know, even farther away than the sun, apparently, it's pretty crazy to see these homemade videos with excellent equipment.
Well, you can go to websites like SDO, and it'll show you the sun in many wavelengths, and you'll start to understand that it really does change the view of the sun. There is so much energy coming off, and like you saw that one where I showed you the sun, or Rose showed you the sunspot, and like things are going down that hole. That's called the G-band, and what's happened is everything has been narrowed down to a very specific wavelength and everything else blocked. If you shoot in white light, which is what most people do, it's simply knocking down the surface energy with a filter by 98%, and all you see is the disk and sunspots. But there are many, many different wavelengths that can be filmed in, and I think H-alpha is the one that people can afford, although it ain't cheap. If you go online, you can find people filming some pretty crazy things with regard to the sun. There's just not a lot of them. Not a lot of people can push a terabyte of data as one thing.
No, I mean, I have a 2 terabyte backup hard drive, and I have it maybe half full. So I don't know how many hard drives you have laying around, but it's quite substantial. Have you, I'm putting this to you. I think you should focus your attention on stars next, because that's a weird one. I know we've probably talked about that before, but stars seem to be a bit different than the sun, even though they're all supposed to be suns farther away.
No, I don't accept that they're the same thing. And I did, in my older work, I might have been the first person I ever saw do it, is run video of stars slightly out of focus. What a lot of people do now.
I got that. Do you want me to bring up the Antares video?
Yeah.
Educate yes. people on the difference between a blurred star and a star that's actually in focus. Just give
bring us the heart of the scorpion, because what people are doing now is saying everything you've been told is a lie, which is mostly true, but then they run an out of focus star and say this is what a star looks like. So what we're about to show you shows you the truth. Taking a star out of focus is critically important because you can see the cymatic pattern. As a matter of fact, someone who had time on their hands could film the stars, take them slightly out of focus, and then try to match the cymatic pattern they're seeing. And then you would begin to comprehend the frequency and the color.
Does that have to do with the music of the spheres? That's a totally different show, but that's an interesting topic too.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, yes. We know now that all material is solidified light. And we know now that all form is basically because of vibration. Oh, here we are. She's going to show you a star called Antares, which is the heart of the scorpion. And in the name is hidden information most people miss. It's anti-Aries, it's been compared to Mars a lot because of its color and because of the supposed energy, which is negative. But the Heart of the Scorpion here, I'm going to show you what it looks like to shoot it out of focus and what a star actually looks like through a big telescope in focus.
Okay, I think that from this moment up to the 4-minute mark would be the best part to share, but I hope I'm not skipping something, but hang in
no,
there
you're
for
not.
3 minutes. It's good.
At any rate, the star we're going to look at here is Antares, which is a really interesting star and one that everyone should know because it orients you to a couple of things, to what's up in the sky, the constellations that are up in the sky, and the time of year. This is in the warmer months, I think around the end of May, the star comes up. It's with us for about 4 months, but it looks kind of orangish to your eye, and it's actually an interesting star. It's one of four stars that were referred to as the Royal Stars of Persia, the other three stars being Aldebaran and Taurus, Regulus and Leo, which is the heart of Leo, as this is the heart of the Scorpion, and Fomalhaut, something like that. I can never pronounce it. Fomalhaut in Pisces, which is the mouth of the southern fish. So the other interesting thing about the stars, it's one of the biggest things we can see with our naked eye. It's nearly 900 times the size of our sun. I think 880.
This is all incorrect information, the size. This is so long ago. But anyhow, I don't accept that it's gigantic and a million zillion miles away.
But hey, it goes to show how long ago you've been doing this work and studying the stars and understanding this, you know, the difference between a blurred. And so people need to understand the difference between a blurred star and you should be getting into it right now.
No, and I like what you said, that's incorrect information. It's because it's what we were told at the time and what the mainstream says it is. So
yeah, this is almost over a decade old. I don't know. This is old.
Yeah, but Crow is insistent on keeping his journey on his YouTube channel so you can see how he learned.
So the other object that we're going to look at here is...
You can probably skip forward to show the star. Yeah, right there. So this is Antares out of focus. And the reason there's a hole in the center is because of the type of telescope I'm using called a Schmidt cast grain. In the center of the optical train is a mirror, a parabolic mirror. So that's why the hole is there. Now what I'm doing is I'm focusing it. So this is actually truly what an in-focus star looks like. Almost there, almost there. That's pretty close. That's actually what a star in focus looks like. So many people show out of focus stars, say it's clearly underwater and this is what stars look like. That's not 100% honest because it's not in focus. But taking them out of focus shows you a whole color pattern and so much that you can't see in focus, to include the cymatic pattern. But years and years ago, I did spend time on the stars.
That's still, we're zooming in. So that is an in-focus star that he's zooming in now. Sorry to interrupt, Crow, but that's the whole point of showing this.
That's crazy that that's in focus, because the other one actually looked more in focus when you could see the cymatic patterns and all that.
This is the first thing I shot when I got my telephoto. That bird's about 200 feet away.
Wow. So that's a whole rabbit hole people can go down. We can close on this, though, but Vanilla Luke Cage in the chat, which I believe is my buddy Nate, he said, how can so many physicists, astronomers, scientists, and all be lying about the distance, size of planets, and such?
I don't think they are lying. I think... Have you ever noticed, like in the modern era, when people realized what was happening in 2020, who were the hardest people to convince? It was the educated people. And they have spent so much effort to be educated that they're very invested in the things they were taught. I don't think they're lying for a second. I think they're accepting what textbooks and things have said. But I mean, we're coming to an era where so much of what we used to think, I mean, I saw Michio Kaku in a recent clip saying we lied to you about gravity, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think they're lying. I think they're very invested in what they were taught.
And so what I'm saying is I don't believe what they were taught. I think NASA exists for the elite of this world to get an endless check. I've heard people claim that a lot of that money was hoarded, but nonetheless, and to push a point of view. And what is that point of view? All the space agencies, and I don't care if it's in Iran, they're all doing the same thing. It's to try to ensure you know nothing about what is above your head or where you are. Because if you deprive someone of understanding where they are, they have no idea where they can go as one side effect of that manipulation. And the key to most control and manipulation comes down to those who are informed controlling those who are uninformed. And there are scientific tests that have been run to show that nearly all the time, if you take an informed group and an uninformed group, the informed group will come out on top.
Yeah, I actually had a similar conversation with my mom the other day, because I was talking about just, you know, zoomed out in general. She's saying, oh, I don't think that so many people are involved in this conspiracy. Or like, I'm like, first of all, conspiracy is way been demonized. We know that the CIA, it's all a conspiracy is to me is business. Two people combining their efforts to achieve, a shared goal. That's it. So if you take it at that definition, everything is a conspiracy because everybody's trying to accomplish their goals by teaming up with other people. So it's not that good much point of a stretch, but I do agree with you that I don't think that these people are lying. Scientists, doctors, politicians even, I think a lot of them actually think what they're doing is right.
Of course.
That's actually scarier because they believe what they're doing is correct and they
That's
don't.
Right.
But they're unwitting puppets to this, and this is where the conspiracy comes in, unwitting puppets to a greater control structure that feeds them information. And Luke in the chat says they're not lying. Their foundational math is telling them they're correct. Exactly.
Well, math can easily be used to describe a cup as being half empty or half full. As a matter of fact, math could be used to describe an empty cup as full. See, there's a big difference between making a calculation to illustrate a point or just observing it and saying, let me draw you a quick picture before we go. There's a man named Tycho Brahe, and I accept his model. What most people don't realize is Tycho Brahe did everything he did, and ironically, it was to 777 stars. So maybe there's an affinity between me and him. I'm making a joke. But maybe I'm not making a joke, but here's the point. Tycho did firsthand observation as an aristocrat in a time where it was absolutely not allowed for aristocrats to do work. And he did the work, and he did it before telescopes. The work he did on placing all the stars and the luminaries and the star field and everything, and the supposed what we now call orbits of planets, was after Tycho died, and maybe Kepler, the guy we got, had something to do with it. Maybe he didn't, but he got Tycho's work. And so did Copernicus. These two men never observed anything. They were math wizards. They took Tycho's work, said what he had done wasn't right, but they took his best work available, placed them into all those things, and they gave us the systems we were taught in school. But think about this. We're told Julius Caesar jacked up the calendar the first time, then a guy named Pope Gregory the 13th. Even in that simple manipulation, I can show you what was done to us partially. We're supposed to have 13 months, and that's tied to the moon, because a month used to be a month. What he did was he removed the feminine connection to nature and started the patriarchal system. If you want to be holistic, you need all the system. If it was a rainbow, you wouldn't say I'm throwing out green and still calling it holistic. So he basically took a system that is positive and negative in duality here, and he threw out the negative side or the feminine connection by simply changing the calendar to throw out the connection and the cyclical time to the moon. And so what we have is system after system after system that has been built to control us. And the main underlying principle of that is to keep us uninformed. because as long as they are informed, or whoever wants control, and the others are uninformed, they have a 90-something per chance of coming out on top every time because they are informed.
Yeah, exactly. Rose, I see you have one last spiel before we close out. 1 minute tops. All right, timer's starting.
Okay, so I just wanted to address that you mentioned that Jen was into like the idea of the anode and the cathode ideas, and that's all in like jived up with the idea of us being in more of an electromagnetic realm and the sun not being anything having to do with like nuclear things. And what I've noticed since April 8th, the eclipse of last year, there's been a rise in consciousness after that solar eclipse, and between all of the footage that happened there and crow's footage, it shows that the sun is a physical rotating sphere, which has offended a lot of people who had a certain worldview about the sun being like a projection or something like that. But now we should move forward knowing this is a fact. This has been confirmed. And when it comes to like models and shapes and the realm that we live in, we don't have one. We don't have, nobody can prove what this place is, but science goes with what it can measure. And so what we've been discussing a lot is atomic theory versus field theory. And what field theory does is it integrates the idea of the metaphysical. So like we were saying, those people aren't lying. It's just that the science, that the scientism, it doesn't acknowledge the immeasurable. It doesn't acknowledge God, divine, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what to call it personally. But that other aspect that you can't measure, if we can, as we're raising in consciousness, acknowledge that there is a metaphysical realm, then we might have a more accurate model that we can understand.
Yeah. Totally agreed. And it seems like, I mean, they took the ether out of the sciences for a reason.
Big point. Glad you said that. Michelson and Morley did a light experiment that proved we were not moving, that we're stationary. And it is my point of view that Einstein was shuffled on the stage to make up relatively or special relativity so he could dismiss that, which at one point he did, ether, exactly as you said, which had been foundationally critical to every system that had ever been up to that point. Good call.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like Rose was saying, that we are kind of coming back into an era where we're realizing some things. I've seen people I never thought would be into any of this stuff coming out and being like, posting crazy shit. If you're a normie, it's crazy shit. But I'm like, oh my God, you're onto something there. You've seen what we've been looking into for years now. That's awesome. I appreciate that. I mean, and you always, Crow, you always bring up the bulldog skateboarding. I have a, well, she's actually dead now, but one of my cousins had a bulldog that came out the womb skateboarding. What is that?
In the 70s, that would have been the most famous dog in the universe, making millions of dollars. In the 2000s, every other bulldog can do it. There's your consciousness lift. That's attached to the sun from my point of view. And if I am correct that that's the binary of our sun, that consciousness boost just got doubled.
Yeah, at least. And before we close out here, I see in the chat, Rose is talking to Luke. Luke, we've been trying to get you hooked up with somebody like Crow. I think you'll really enjoy Crow. I think you'll really enjoy his work that he's done. He's done some actual math, but in regards to physics and space and light and all that stuff, I think cool. It's right up your alley. So we could probably hook you up with him.
Cool. Rose is the contact. Rose is the gatekeeper.
Perfect. We will facilitate that, Rose, the gatekeeper.
Keep the gate, Rose.
Well, we appreciate you guys. Thanks, Brandon, for coming on again. Thanks, you guys, for jumping on kind of last minute. Always appreciate getting to talk to you and your time. But everybody in the live chat, thank you, too. Thanks for joining us. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Cheers. Thanks so much, cheers, man.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Legit Bet. Please address all content grievances to gofuckyourself@yourmom.com. See you next week.